It's a small, small dog or small, you see, what will that, cat,
cats.
So you see, now these, you see, animals, their sort of attachment or love is very limited, you see. The dogs, small one, what called child of dog, in certain time, some affection there. Then that small, that small one, if it become grown up, that, how to say, sort of, you see, affectionate feeling, no more, very limited. Now, human being can think much more deeper, much more sort of distance. So, now you see, when you become angry, all these potential things lost, no more there. So you see, the anger is the real destroyer of our human good quality, right? So they really our enemy. The enemy with weapon cannot destroy human, human good quality. But anger can destroy. So therefore the anger, if you look the hatred in the anger side, is nothing good. Now other side, the love, compassion, concerning other people. Now these are the real source of happiness. Now, and with love, with how to say, you see, compassion, even you remain remain in very uncomfortable place. The external, how to say, the uncomfortable may not disturb you. The other side, with full angry, the best facility, you remain, despite you remain in best facility, you will not happy. So we ever want happiness, that's right. So if you really want happiness, then you must follow a right path or right method in order to achieve happiness. So you see, from this is not Buddha's special, these are not particular, this is religious thinking, but we can think by common sense. So you see, and now you see the selfish, the importance of yourself and importance of other. Now again, you see, my usual, according to Shantadeva's, you see, advice. Now here we imagine you yourself one side, the other beings is one side. This other being, even a limited number, say 10, 15, 100, one side. You visualize one side, you yourself, as a this is selfish and proud, visualize such a condition or such position. Then the other side, the poor, needy people of a group of people remain there. That moment you yourself visualize as a unbiased third person. Now judge. This person, this one single person is more important, or this group of people are more important. Think whether you join this side or this side. Which is more important? Which is worthwhile to join this side or this side? Then naturally, if you are, you see, real human being, naturally your heart will go this side, because this is more number and more needy people. This is one just a single and pride and stupid one, you see. So you see, you naturally, your feeling goes, you see, this side, closer. So like this practice, think, then gradually our selfish feeling and gradually decrease. The respect for other will grow. That is the way of practice. So this is, you see, that means my way. Why? So this is the main, now, another word is, I usually saying, if you are really want selfish, then be a wise selfish, not narrow selfish. You see, it's a wise selfish. Think other people, serve other people, sincerely, not cheating, but just sincerely, you see, self and helping as much as you can. You yourself regard as a secondary thing. Then the ultimate result, you will be get the maximum benefit. Clear? So that is why it's selfish. The other side, you see, fighting with someone, you see, killing or stealing and harsh word, this sort of thing, and forget other people's benefit, always think yourself, I. Result will be you are loser. You become the loser. The other people also, gradually, in front of you, may speak, you see, nice word. But outside, the backside, they say, oh, like that, you see. So that itself, you see, you are loosening. Right? So therefore, the practice of altruism is not a religion, but it is a real way of human life. Really, how to say, like Kasuri, I usually call it real human quality. Whether you are believer or non-believer, whether you are Buddhist or non-Buddhist, these are secondary. Nothing important. The important thing is, we as a human being, we must live purposeful or meaningful life. That's important. Just eating, and not, let's say, just eating means making that thing, what do you call that? You see, thing come out, what do you call?
Feces.
Feces. Feces. Really, you see? So that is not our purpose, life, purpose of life. You see, purpose of life is, increase the good heart, warm heart, and we will become a good human being. And with that quality, you will lead whole life as a meaningful life and purposeful life, and you become friend of everybody, and you become the
the helper of everyone,
helper for everyone, whether you see in that sense. Now through that we get real sense of brothers and sisters. The full-headed brother, sister's word, nothing. With this feeling, this motivation, now our big human community become one harmony, friendly, honesty, and justice is a human community. That is our aim. That whether we achieve this life or not is a different matter. But whether achieve or not, it is worthwhile to attempt. To make attempt. This is my belief, and usually I call this sort of feeling is a universal religion. Not necessarily this particular, this religion, that religion. This is something universal religion. So you see, do you agree? These things are, important. It's not necessary the prasangika theory or these complicated theory, not necessary. Now think, using common sense, think properly, then we can convince the practice of altruism, practice of love, practice of compassion is something worthwhile, very necessary, very important. Then next, taking and giving practice is, now you see, if you think these, now as a Buddhist practitioner, you see, think. For a Buddhist practitioner,
one thinks in this a great deal in this way, one wonders what one can do when one sees suffering sentient beings.
Now as you see, we already discussed that all these suffering come due to their own karmic force. So here, I can nothing to do, except how to say voluntarily and enthusiastically. Taking, when I say shit thakwane ra, shit thakwane, ta simshi uthane, ta paru du dungi, yudu jabdi di, ta ngarang kala, mimba shio san samdaya.
From the very depths of one's heart, imagine or think that one is willing to take all of the suffering of sentient beings together with the causes of that suffering into oneself and allow it to ripen within oneself. This is called the practice of taking others' suffering within emphasizing compassion.
Then the
other is to give away one's own happiness and causes of happiness in that at least one has a little virtue, one has some roots of virtue, and from the depths of one's heart to imagine giving this to other sentient beings. This is called the giving away of one's own happiness within emphasizing love.
Now this actually is not work. But you see, it very much help increasing your determination, your willpower.
That's the practice of the taking of suffering and the giving away of happiness.
This,
for somebody who knows how to engage in this practice, it can be done at the time when one gets some sort of illness.
Or the unfortunate happening.
And then instead of one's suffering getting worse, this acts as an aid, and one gets to be more courageous.
According to my own limited experience, these practices are really a source of courage. Source of courage, source of inner strength. It's not a big question. Kemusha gives that to us. That's the other decision. Left. Buddhist teacher, Kemusha gives to us.
I think this may have some connection with why Buddhist teachers can be very humorous. Because if you worry, it doesn't help, does it?
There's not much worry. As far as my own motivation is concerned, I'm sincere. As much as I can, that's my motivation. And that, you see now, whether something achieved or not, that is different. So no regret, no sorry. You see, thinking the bigger issue rather than small one. You see, after all, 100 period of life, nothing important. As you say, I'm now 46 or 46, I think. Sometimes not very sure. I always forget my own age, right? Like that. You see, so you see, suppose you see, if I remain another 40 or 50 years, not much important. Let's compare the infinite future. And also, you see, compared to unlimited sentient beings, you see, problem, my own problem is nothing. So, you see, if you look a problem or you see, suffering very very closely, you can, then it becomes very big, very complicated, very unbearable. Look from distance, it becomes smaller. It's not much, nothing worthwhile to worry too much. So you see, thinking is a bigger problem and bigger issue, and small issues come and go, come and go, come and go. That's the nature. Not much concern. So, like that. That too, Shani. Now, you see, one most important thing is, as I mentioned yesterday, the practice or the practice of kasa, tolerance. Now, you see, tolerance learn only from enemy. Without Guruji, kasa, from Guruji, you cannot learn. I think, you see, here, you cannot learn tolerance, except when you're boring. Maybe you learn some patience. Otherwise, there is no chance to learn kasa, patience and tolerance. When you're meeting, you see, your real enemy, who are going to really hurt on you, that moment you learn the tolerance. Now, see, Shantideva, you see, the argued, beautifully argued Chayata, to Sunyari. Taoti, one of the situation is, tell it in a Sunam Sago, tell it in a Sunam Sago, tell it in
Shantideva says that one's enemy is really a good spiritual guide because in dependence on the enemy, one can accumulate great power of merit.
Dalatene, Savakam Turis, Savaltena Sunam Sayamburis, Tendinza, Tadigi, Korakondu Chad, the Korakondu Lutani, and it's not Sunam Sayak and Dalia, and it's Chema Cheres of Jaris.
Because in dependence upon an enemy, one gets a chance to cultivate patience, which is very helpful to oneself. It is as if the enemy were getting angry purposely in order to help oneself.
That day should they land it. Then the Marvas, enemy could run at a Malia passingly, and it look like a Yamarvas. Then they inside any air copper Yauchava to them in the was.
However, Shantideva posits someone who objects and says, and this one who is answering is the manifestation of one's own inner afflictive emotions, which are saying, that isn't the case. The enemy doesn't have any sense to help me, just wants to harm, therefore it's suitable for me to respond and harm him.
Then, Manzu, Chun Gordenda, Chun Lamdenian, and the Tabachigarvas, Gabachigarvas, Gordenda, Lamden, Kora Pansum Kagamaris.
But the answer is that it's not necessary for something to have an intention to help you in order to help you. For instance, you have great faith and you want very much and you like the true cessations of suffering, but the true cessations of suffering don't have any intention to help you. But because they help us, but because they help you, you respect them. So then the manifestations of the afflictive emotions, what do you say, seemingly accepting that makes a further objection, but it's not the case, they say, that true cessations have an intention to harm, whereas the enemy has an intention to harm. Therefore, it's all right to answer back and harm him.
Nasim yeba yinza nabas labaris, nasim mena nabas ming kore to maris, nasim yeba yinza tawe ming tawaris, nasim nabas in amjin nashin shen, so sor, when a pandang has in a condu gigi maris, tau chug maris, raya.
This who said?
Shinde, that had lent you on pneumonia, that's just on pneumongi, gording, pessimindus, pessimindu, the nasim yamaris, gordinia. The day yinza, it is some cause. That worthwhile is to stay, Kushacha. That daddy, handsome, never got a nursing chick to ask Malia to. Never care the song of the artist. Didn't this song in the tongue, Talia and Kushacha took me to Silverina? Nursing never insult us in Tauris. Didn't they insult that you're in? Casually, Congress of the artist. Don't want it again. Savocom yard that day, Kibris. Daddy, nursing man, turn on Congress of Maris. Didn't they do in the Savocom yard diamond? Clear?
I'm not sure.
당연히 시제는 변한다.
가자. 가리 가. 뭘 왜래네?
어. 다. 어, 다들이 다들이 무슨 도스?
So the enemy has an intention to harm.
어. 근데 소원 인자 고든은 신 말레스 티 펜스 가서 펜스 매번 걸어 내심 예배 인도잖아. 다 티 네. 다 가서 자신 버려 삼 텐트 보면 누슬럽나?
Therefore, a, even if what do you say? Unlike a true cessation, which even though a true cessation has no intention to help, still has no intention to harm. You see, the enemy has an intention to harm. Therefore, it's all right for me to answer back and harm the enemy. So then the answer is, if the enemy didn't have an intention to harm, it wouldn't be an enemy. So because it is in dependence upon an enemy that one can cultivate patience, one needs an enemy. Thus, in order to become an enemy, that one needs this intention to harm. So thus one should respect the enemy.
And also now you see Shantideva argued like this. Someone hit on you, then we immediately, you see, angry toward that person. Now Shantideva, you see, argue. If you think kasa,
If you're considering what is actually harming you,
then that not the person, but by the stick or the weapon.
But that which is actually creating the suffering is the gun or the weapon, whatever it was. Not the person. But if one thinks about what is bringing about the harm indirectly, it's not the person, it is
the
main source is the afflictive emotion in the person.
So therefore, either, you see, if you am angry, then either you should angry the weapon or the motivation, the anger, not the person himself. Very true, you see. The actual hitting or pain created by the weapon. But we foolishly not angry to the weapon. Maybe sometime. Sometimes even like this, you angry.
Yeah. Sometimes we get angry at things when we hit them. I had a friend who was like working under a car.
When I myself was making some, you see, occupied by car,
fixing up cars.
So,
and he hit his head. So he got so angry he hit the car twice like that.
You see, except this one. This generally, you see, we are not angry, the weapon. And we choose the person particularly. If you think, you see, properly, either this or this. The person himself, without angry, he will not take the action. So because of his angry, now he took that as a hitting action. So if we properly think the real source of the troublemaker is the anger.
Therefore, one shouldn't get upset at the person, but should get upset at the afflictive emotion in the other person.
Mm.
Then another type of contemplation that Shantideva gives is advice to think about whether the person's getting angry, whether that angriness is the nature of the person or is something that is adventitious. And if it's the nature of the person, then just as we don't get angry at fire because it burns, so one shouldn't get angry at the person just because he's angry. And if it's adventitious or temporary, just as one, what do you say? Just as, if it's adventitious, then just as when a cloud covers the sun, one doesn't get angry at the sun, but sees that the problem is with the cloud, so here one shouldn't get angry at the person, but get upset with the afflictive emotion, the anger in the person. So then one can also think that one's own body has a nature of suffering, the weapon has a nature of suffering, and when these two come together, it produces pain. Thus, it's half-half. So then just as one gets angry at the other thing, so one should get angry at oneself.
So you see, when you read Shantideva's work, this sort of, you see, really, how to say, worthwhile, how to say, meaningful, you see, idea, is very, very useful for self-discipline or for self-awareness. So I myself, you see, practice according the Shantideva's book, which is very, very useful. So I think that's the enough now. Ta?
Through this, one can develop a very strong sense of altruism. It's not absolutely necessary that one recognize other sentient beings as mothers, but from these points of view, one can generate a strong sense of altruism. I left out the essence. How? Kandis?
Kasajudi.
Here, because one is not thinking about this is my mother, there's some connection then with I, one is not thinking about that, but is merely thinking about others, that everyone equally wants happiness and doesn't want suffering, and one's sense of altruism is generated in this sense, it can get to be very strong. When one is able to generate a strong sense of respect and so forth for one's enemy, since the enemy is the hardest person with respect to which it is, anyway, difficult to generate a sense of cherishing, then all the rest of the people are easy. That's the way of cultivating altruism by way of the equalizing and switching of self and other. Then when one is trained in this altruistic intention to become enlightened and has advanced with some experience,
then
Then one assumes this aspirational mind of enlightenment in the context of making a promise. This is called assuming the aspirational mind of enlightenment through a promise. And through this it becomes more steady. And having done that, there is training in the causes to keep this aspirational mind of enlightenment from deteriorating in this lifetime and in future lifetimes. Then one has to train in the wish to train in the bodhisattva deeds. So what are the deeds here? They are the deeds of the six perfections. There are many explanations about the entity, definite number and order of the six perfections and so forth, but I won't go into those here. In any case, all of the practices of bodhisattvas are contained in the six perfections. These in turn can be contained in the three types of ethics: the ethics of restraining ill deeds, the ethics which are the composite of virtuous practices, and the ethics of bringing about others' welfare. The root of the ethics of bodhisattvas is the restraining of self-centeredness. Thus it is said that the root of Buddha's teaching is compassion. In the vehicle of the hearers, it is within the context of compassion that the hearers are engaging in ethics in order not to harm others. But bodhisattvas not only are refraining from harming others, but are seeking to bring great help to others.
Thus, the
whole of Buddhism entirely can be included into two sentences. If you can help others, if you cannot do that, then at least do not harm them. The essence of all of the Buddhist vehicles are contained in this. There's not much time. I'm not going to speak much about giving, ethics, patience, effort, and concentration.
Now, with
respect to wisdom, I'll explain some about the view. There are different types of wisdom. The conventional wisdom, the wisdom realizing conventionalities, that is to say, the wisdom involved in the five sciences. Like medicine, artistry, and so forth.
And then,
Logic, grammar, and the inner sciences.
Grammar is
Sanskrit.
Sanskrit is really?
Linguistics.
Linguistics. Anyway.
Then there's the ultimate wisdom, realizing the suchness of things, realizing the ultimate truth. We've already talked quite a bit about the ultimate wisdom. Because from among the four systems of tenets, the Chittamatrans and the Madhyamakas assert a selflessness of phenomena. I will mainly talk about these systems. In the Yogacara or
Chittamatra,
In the Yogacara or Chittamatra system, they mainly assert the third turning of the wheel of doctrine. In the Unraveling of the Thought Sutra, which is a sutra of the third wheel, it is said that the doctrines taught in the turnings, in the first two turnings of the wheel, are doctrines to be interpreted. They say that if one asserted the teachings in the middle wheel, that all phenomena are without their own entityness, that they are without production, and that they are at peace from the start, and that they are naturally in nirvana. If one asserted these doctrines literally, one would fall to an extreme of nihilism. Thus, in dependence on the doctrines of the turning of the third wheel, one needs to interpret these doctrines of the middle wheel. So then, if one asks, what is the meaning of the lack of entityness of in phenomena that is taught in the middle wheel? In the chapter of the questions of Paramad. Anyway, of Tundam Yanda Pa. Paramartha Samudgata. Anyway, his questions, the chapter of his questions, in the Unraveling of the Thought Sutra, the meaning of the teaching of the lack of entityness of phenomena as is taught in the middle wheel is interpreted. In terms of three types of lack of entityness. For this, one needs to understand the presentation of the three natures. These three are imputations, other powered phenomena, and thoroughly established phenomena.
And
one the lack of entityness is interpreted individually with respect to these three.
imputations
are without entityness in the sense of lacking their own character.
군다가서 똑배 딱성 인지 然后称义主我们意思。This
is because imputations are only imputed by conception. They do not exist by way of their own character.
但是呢，这天主教名的똑배 딱성是啊，这个定义你开发是不啥样的。
However, the meaning of being imputed conceptually or by names and conceptual consciousnesses here in the Chittamatra system and in the Prasangika system is very different. Even though the Chittamatrans view imputations as not existing by way of their own character, when the Prasangikas consider the matter in terms of their own interpretation of the meaning of being existent by way of the object's own character, they say that the Chittamatrans actually are forced to assert such.
对吧？嗯，你晓得？可是这个的，向往交往我们没办法晓得的。向往，嗯，咱告诉的，向往是呢，咱理解一切。但你看理想，咱理解一切的，理解一切的的，究竟向往的中间，让往个可能成为名字在呢？向往的交往我们没办法说的。
So now products are called other powered phenomena in that they are produced in dependence upon other causes and conditions. And other powered phenomena are said to be without entityness in the sense that they are devoid of existing under their own power. Then the thoroughly established nature is identified as the object of observation of a path of purification, and this is emptiness. It is that lack of entityness which is the ultimate.
但永住去年的下永住，向往东西向往去，东西向往，嗯，各自滚到的东北的永住去了。So
thus, other powered phenomena are the bases of emptiness, and their emptiness of the imputed character is the emptiness of those phenomena. The thoroughly established nature of those phenomena. So then, since it is said that other powered phenomena are empty of the imputed nature, what is this imputed nature that they're empty of? This is a very deep topic that requires a great deal of explanation, but in brief. The imputed or imagined character here is that, for instance, forms are naturally established as the bases of names and conceptions, whereas they actually are not. Thus, the emptiness of forms being naturally established as bases of thoughts and conceptions is a thoroughly established nature of forms.